Let us pray. Merciful God, give us grace in this holy week to be true to the mind of Christ. Amen. So we come to the changing of the seasons. We move from Lent to Holy Week. The Lenten journey, walking those 40 days, began with the liturgy on Ash Wednesday, which included a litany of penitence, which is a long list of those ways in which we may have fallen short. It is not an exhaustive list. It might be an exhausting list, but it is a list of those many ways we need to grow in our journey. And I have meditated on that litany this Lenten season, and particularly been intrigued, been wondering about the particular confession that says we have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. And I have found myself wondering what that means, what the mind of Christ looks like in life, how we get there. And these questions may be answered as we begin the season of Lent with those, as we begin Holy Week. We find some answers, and they come in the reading that Henry read to us from Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's a letter he wrote from prison, under duress. It's a letter written to a church he loved. It's a letter of encouragement, but he says to them, "Let the mind of Christ be in you. Let this mind be in you." And he goes on to describe, in a very succinct way, Holy Week. He describes what the mind of Christ looked like. That Jesus emptied himself, as Marisa wrote so beautifully this morning in her daily devotional. How he did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but entered into a life of humility, emptying himself, offering himself in obedience unto death. And that is what Paul says is the mind of Christ, and he encourages his followers to enter into that mind, that life. So the question I want to pose in reflection on what we've heard in this liturgy is, how is it that we grow in the mind of Christ? It is a process, and I'm not sure any of us will get there on this side of the heavenly pearly gates, but it is a process into which we're invited. And I don't know about you, but I find sometimes I get glimmers of what it means to be and have the mind of Christ, and then in the next nanosecond, it's eluding me, it's gone. It reminds me of what Emily Dickinson said about faith. She said, "We believe and disbelieve 100 times an hour. It makes the faith nimble." So I commend to you all the possibility of nimble faith in this Holy Week as we think about what it means to have the mind of Christ. A note about liturgy. Soren Kierkegaard said that the liturgy is a drama, it's a play. And in that play, in that drama, the clergy, the musicians, the lay leaders are the prompters, maybe the coaches. The congregation are the actors. God is the audience. Now, I will confess to you that I've had in my life a very different vision of what liturgy is all about. I've thought the clergy better be pretty good actors, because the congregation is sitting there with their scorecard, right? There might even be a few liturgical critics or music critics or bulletin critics in the midst. Not in this place, I'm sure. But just hypothetically, there might be some of that happen. Kierkegaard said it flips that. This is totally different. And there is no day in the year of the church when that idea that the congregation are actors is more true than when we act out the passion narrative as just has happened. And it causes me to think, as we think about what the mind of Christ is, what it means, how we live into the mind of Christ, and how we see ourselves in this story. Do we have the mind of Peter and the other disciples who can't even stay awake? Are we sleepwalking in our spiritual life? Is that our mindset? Do we have the mindset of Judas or Peter, who do very similar things, betray and deny, for the sense of self-promotion or self-protection? Is that our mindset? Do we have the mindset of religious authorities who can't stand the possibility of change? I know that never happens in the Episcopal Church, but that possibility that we resist something new of God's power at work in our life, is that our mindset? Is it the mindset of soldiers? Is it the mindset of people who are totally indifferent to the injustice that is happening before their eyes with Jesus? Do we share in that silence and complicity in our own mindset as we look at a broken world? What is the mindset that we have as we approach this Holy Week? This Holy Week is given to us as a great gift to think about how to be true to the mind of Christ. And the drama, not only today, but as it unfolds in 8 o'clock worship in the coming days, as it unfolds on Monday, Thursday, and Good Fridays, helps us to see what is the mind of Christ. So on Monday, Thursday, we see the mind of Christ as he gets up from the table to wash his disciples' feet. And we think, can I have that mind too? Could it be possible that I can take on that role of servant, of humility with the people in my life? We come on Friday to the foot of the cross, and we see Jesus' arms stretched out in love to draw the whole world into his saving embrace. And we think, could I have that mindset? That I am part, as the body of Christ, of drawing people into God's unconditional love, to extending that, to embracing that for all persons. Can I have the mindset that Jesus had on the cross as he looks at those who are doing him harm, as he looks at his executioners and torturers and forgives them? Can I let go of those things which I refuse to forgive in those people in my life? Can I trust myself? Can I have the mindset to trust myself to God's care? In the way that Jesus said, into your hands I commend my spirit. Take this Holy Week as a chance to think about your own mindset and where you might grow in having the mind of Christ. It's a journey. As I say, we get it sometimes and we miss the point sometimes, but we are walking that path through the Holy Week, walking the way of the cross, and as the Collect says, we will find it to be a way of life and a way of peace. Most merciful God, we pray for grace to this week be true to the mind of Christ. Amen.